most certainly one that showed me facets of the human experience that I haven't been involved in for some time. And having had that distance, having had that reprieve from this particular state of being, I think I was able to see a lot more of, let's say, the distortions that present in that reality. And I wanted to share it with you here. I went to an event, and this event was a networking event that took place at a restaurant as a brunch, and it was marketed as an event for women. And it wasn't just women entrepreneurs or those who have their own businesses, but certainly that seemed to be the way that the marketing copy was going. And so I signed up for it. It came up on my Facebook feed. It's not something that I was familiar with outside of this one ad that I saw, but I thought, okay, I feel some pull. So let's honor the process of that little prompt inside when it presents, and I didn't ignore it, so I bought a ticket. And I went to the event not expecting a thing. I went to the event not knowing anyone and being fairly unfamiliar with the organization itself. But again, the prompt was there, so I went. And it turns out that this room of approximately 30 women, I could be off, but it was a quaint restaurant and it was packed, was full of women who were probably between the ages of 23 and maybe there were a couple in their very early 40s. However, the majority of them were most definitely younger than, let's say, 28. So the demographic was very young. And it's not an environment that I'm a part of right now very often. The people who tend to come to work with me, particularly for the purpose of retrieving their sacred contracts and ultimately remembering why they're here, are generally within the range of 30 to, let's say, 55. And the people in this, my demographic, have a similar narrative when they approach. The conversation generally starts off with expressing much more than just a mild discomfort living in their reality. The discomfort of misalignment is so painful that they're ready to make a change, whether that change is frightening or not. And human often tends to buy time, so to speak, very much in quotes there, where it hopes that by just moving through life, it will eventually find its way and hit the bullseye. And once that bullseye is hit, everything will come into place, everything will be taken care of, and they will live a happy, fulfilling life. It's not quite how it works, and perhaps it could have worked more so in the past, let's say 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, for most. But now the game has changed completely, and there was a very distinct period of reawakening on this planet that ignited or activated many beings who were here, unaware of why they were here, to begin the work that they were here to do. But if you were awoken without understanding what that work is in any level of detail, the result is a very confusing experience, one that is, on an internal level, very profound, very distinctly pulling you in a specific direction, but you don't know what that direction is on a human level. So navigating the physical experience then becomes a fumbling and a breaking of the porcelain on the shelves as you, in the dark, bulldoze your way through what you hope will be experiences that result in some level of success or happiness. But ultimately, you hit enough walls, you hit enough obstacles, and you realize that you may benefit from some help. And that's where we circle back to the conversations that I had during this brunch. We were assigned specific tables. So the table that I was assigned to was a table of young girls, essentially. And as I sat there waiting for the speaker to begin her talk, not able to eat anything because I'm not on sugar or grains, and everything there was basically rice-based, which was fine. I wasn't there for the food. I observed what pulled me here, what drew me here, why I was in that situation. And one of the initial topics of conversation around the table was, what do you do? Although there were many prompts on the table, little note cards with suggested questions that would veer us away from what is becoming an increasingly uncomfortable social interaction of asking what one does, the prompts weren't really doing it for us. And the acoustics in this particular restaurant were very poor, so it was very difficult to hear people. So lots of yelling just to get your words across. So a bit of concentration as well to try and hear what people are saying. And we started off with, why, what do you do? Some of us talked about why we were there, and there was a vague, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to be here answer. But when it came to what do? We went around the table, everyone answered. Many of them were just out of school for the first couple of years of working and finding their way, realizing what didn't work and being excited about the next opportunities that presented that hopefully would work. And when they got to me, of course, I very simply said, I help people remember why they're here. And I look into people's eyes. And very often it's a gauge that indicates to me how much further I can go. And there was one particular woman at the table who was fervently nodding and gesturing when I was speaking in agreement with what I was saying. And I saw her being very evident. She wanted to know if I saw her. She wanted me to see her. There was something there. So I observed and I began speaking to her privately, and realized in that experience that age is not in any way a predefined marker of exclusion. And what I mean by that is you don't have to be a certain age to come to the point where you realize there's something more for you in this life, but you don't have the vocabulary or the reference points or the models around you in your life to be able to discern and interpret and translate and communicate, much less do what that work is. And this has already been clear to me when we talk about the context of gender, because though this particular event, for example, was very female-based, women empowerment, women supporting women, and it speaks very much to the desire on this planet to experience a shift in power from what was an emphasis on the masculine to now switching to the opposite end of the spectrum and going to the extreme of what some refer to as even toxic feminism. I'm not here for that particular conversation, because the more I engage in my work and the more I know who, in quotes, I'm working with, gender doesn't play a role in it at all. Spirit has no gender, and I work in the realm of spirit, and so there is no confusion for me. And now this experience of this brunch shone a new perspective on the age question. Is it important to be of a certain age? Is it necessary to make the judgment that if you haven't lived a certain amount of your life, you won't be able to hear me or know what it is that you are already? And so I realized that remembering is no longer and never has been about being mature enough to go through the process, because the age of spirit, the evolution of one's being as one remembers that they are a whole and complete facet of source, is not in any way dictated by age on the human linear spectrum of time. So if you are listening to this and haven't quite decided whether you want to remember more, know that there is no prerequisite to live a specific segment of your life before you're allowed to make that decision. And there is no judgment about your age when you walk into a room to have a conversation. That conversation with spirit is truly one of spirit, where we engage in the subtle realms, knowingly or not yet quite knowingly. It's all about the decision.